Simplest of all love songs, I long to bring to you. So I let my words be few. Jesus, I am so. Jesus, I am so in love with you.
So in love with you, Lord. Hallelujah. So in love with you, Lord. Jesus, I love you. Love you, Lord. Come on, church, tell the Lord that you love him. Praise tell him you love him. Love you, Lord. Love you, love you, love you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your love. You first love me. You first love me. First love me. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus. Love you, Lord. Love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Worship you, worship you. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
trust and know.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. God, this morning we're not here by chance or coincidence. Lord, every one of us are here called by God, brought to this place. We're open, Lord God. We've been moved to this very place of worship, this church this morning. God, every one of us who are not here by chance, Lord, it's like taking a recipe and we're all the ingredients. And God, you're putting us in the oven of the Holy Spirit and you're cooking something up this morning. You're doing something in our lives. Every song that we've sung, Lord, is part of the recipe. Everything that is part and parcel of this service, everything that has happened in this service so far has brought us to the moment of the Word of God. Lord, the Word of God comes in and deals with us and challenges us and stretches us. So God, as we come to the Word of God this morning, I pray in Jesus' name, let there be a release of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, do something in our lives as we hear the Word of God, as we hear it, the words from God's heart. We hear the words, Lord God, and let it stir us, every one of us. Let no one sit on the outside. Lord, let nobody be a spectator. But God, let us hear and be doers of your word. Let us hear and do the word. Let us hear and do your word. Thank you, Lord, for this time together, Lord. So we ask your anointing upon us as we come to the Word of God this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said, amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Kids can head off to Sunday school. I believe that God has a destination, a place where he's taking us. And God is doing some things in our lives this morning. I've got an echo up here, Joanne. I've got something happening. Am I coming through the monitors? Amen. I don't want any echoes. How about you? Just hear me once. Don't hear me four or five times. Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, 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 morning. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you get that echo. You're like you're in a valley somewhere. Is it coming through the monitors? I'm hearing it back here. Amen. We were at district conference this week, and you can put up my first slide, Amanda. Thank you. Welcome to wonderful worship. Amen. And it is wonderful to worship the Lord. Now, say this word with me this morning. It's a very difficult word to say, but say this word, more. More. Have you ever said that before? Probably when you've been at a restaurant or at the Dairy Queen and they're putting chocolate syrup on your ice cream and you say to them, yeah, and they look at you and say, more chocolate syrup, more nuts, more ice cream. It's kind of like, you know, the flesh is desiring more. It wants more. Like, you know, when we were traveling this week to district conference, and by the way, the word for our conference was more. So that's why I share that with you this morning. We were challenged to start thinking in a spiritual sense because, you know, when we were driving to district conference up in Huntsville, it took us about 5.5 hours to get there. We had to drive through Algonquin Park. Has anybody ever gone through Algonquin Park? It's kind of an eerie place this time of year. There's not the campers. There's not the things going on. The camp really hasn't opened yet, Algonquin Park. Yet the moose and the deer and everything else are out because there's no disturbances in that way. So we did see a moose, and I had Betty with her tablet on her lap. Now, when I get driving, Betty starts sleeping in the car. And so I told her, be ready with the tablet because we're going through Algonquin Park. Get ready in case we see a moose or a deer. She can take a picture. Anyway, when you're going through Algonquin Park, if you usually see if your car stopped on the side of the road, that's a good indication that somebody has stopped to see a moose or whatever. And so they're taking pictures or whatever. And we came over the crest of a hill and around this curve. And I looked and I saw a car stopped, and of course you're going along quite fast, and I saw a car stopped, and so I looked over the car and I saw this moose. I mean, it was baby moose, but how many know that a baby moose is still big? Okay, maybe a baby in the sense of, you know, infant, but it was still big. So anyway, I'm driving along. Finally, I catch the sight of this moose, and I look over. Betty. She says, what? And, sorry, I didn't get a picture of a moose to give you. Or we would have had a baby moose to show you. But anyway, Betty was really relaxed in the car. And she says that I'm a good driver because I put her to sleep all the time. So whenever I drive somewhere, I'm all by myself. But it was a good time. We drove there 5.5 hours to get up to Huntsville. And I kept asking Betty, are we there? Are we there? You know, at 5.5 hours in the vehicle, you know, Betty's sleeping. And so I had to wake her up to ask if we're there. So I didn't know we're there. You know, she's just sleeping away, enjoying the scenery and behind her eyelids. And love you, Betty. We had a good time together. But, you know, finally we got there and we said, more. We got there. We wanted more of God when we got there. And it was really interesting because as we got there, the course of the district conference was relating us to our district is Eastern Ontario and Nunavut district, quite a large district, but we are one of several districts across Canada. And we're dealing specifically with our district of our churches here in this district of Eastern Ontario and Nunavut. But yet we had the David Wells, our general superintendent there from the whole of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada across Canada. Now, there's a concern rising within churches across Canada because every year we send in an ACLR, right? And it tells of specifics that are happening in church. Like they ask questions, how many salvations did you have last year? How many people were baptized in the Holy Spirit? How many people were water baptized last year? And so forth. They ask you all these questions pertaining to growth in your church and things that are happening in your church. Now, I want to let you know, there's an alarming thing coming this way that they were saying 10, 20 years ago that they were worried that the Pentecostals Assemblies of Canada churches would begin to plateau. Where we would get in a mode of maintaining. Now, as we started to hear all the facts and the figures of not only our district, but churches all across Canada, it's an alarming thing because the progress that we're seeing is not going up the way you should see in a church, but it's going down. As a matter of fact, in just about every district across Canada, there are churches closing. The numbers of salvations in churches has either stabilized or gone down a bit. The numbers of spirit baptisms have either stabilized or gone down a bit. The number of water baptisms has gone down. And as we look at that, that's an alarming thing because really, when we look at us as a body of believers, we've got good news. We've got something to share with the lost around us, our families, all those people that we come in contact with our every day, every week that we live. And we were kind of talking about what is the reason for some of these things to be happening in our church. And we realize that we're all getting kind of comfortable in where we are, that we don't feel like, you know, I come to church, I'm blessed, I get this, I receive this and everything else. But we had to start saying to ourselves, I want more from myself. I should expect more from me as a pastor. I should expect more in our congregation, that we should start doing something for the glory of God and reaching out again, that we become verbal, we become in the face of people around us and let them know that Jesus loves them. Do you agree with me? So anyway, we went through 3 days of saturation of hearing about this word more. And it was kind of interesting because on the opening night we got there, and if you've ever been to Huntsville, the Deerhurst Lodge, it is quite a swank place. And we book it because of the largeness of our district that we get a real good rate on the hotel rooms. But that's, I believe, a few years ago when Stephen Harper was prime minister, they had one of the G8 summits there at Deerhurst Lodge. It's a very nice place. Really liked it. And so anyway, we were there for our opening supper and we sat down. They said, we're being served tonight. And so all the waiters and waitresses came out from the Deerhurst staff, and they brought out, they had all the dishes. They had a white dish with, you know, those metal things on top so you can't see your food. And anyway, they were bringing these all out, and they're putting them down in front of us, and they would lift these metal things off. And on our plate was a little chicken McNugget and a carrot, like a little strip of carrot, not a big carrot, a little piece of carrot that, you know, you could gobble up in one mouthful, if that. And we looked at it, and we're looking at each other, said, is this what we're getting for supper, a little chicken McNugget and a little piece of carrot? Yeah. Precisely. And that was, we're all kind of saying, like, is this it? Is this it? I mean, have you ever said that in your walk in Jesus? Like, is this it? I want more. More of God, more of the work, more of the things that God wants to do in our hearts and our life. And we should start crying out as a church. Could I pray right now for us as a church that we would not maintain or stabilize or come complacent or compromise in any way or shape or form? We want to see statistics go up for the glory of God. We want to lay up treasures in heaven for the glory of God. We want to see our families saved for the glory of God. We want to see our loved ones saved for the glory of God. We want to see neighbors and people around us saved for the glory of God. Would you believe with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we come against statistics. I don't like them. And when we hear them, it makes us realize, Lord, that we need to start asking for more. God, help us in our spirit to ask more. Give me more of the infilling of the Holy Spirit. Give me more of a persuasiveness to go out into this world, Lord, to somehow reach somebody who is lost. Give me the idea that more and more of me needs to be out to those people who are lost. God, help us to realize and realize afresh today that in this church, not just because we pray this Sunday, but God, I'm praying that every Sunday, every day that we live, we will see more things happen around us, and we will see all across this nation of Canada, like we sang this morning, a revival, a revival, a revival. Lord, we want to hear of something great moving of God, a great move of God happening all around us. So God, we give you our lives afresh this morning. We pray over the word of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. You want more? They even gave us booklets with the word more on the front of them. And as we're sitting there, they even gave us bottles of water with the word more on them. Isn't that? I mean, we were just saturated with that word more. So say more again. More. Say it again. More. Lots more. I like that, Linda. Amen. Lots more. It's kind of interesting while we're at district conference, you know, you get to revisit a lot of friendships and see people you haven't seen for a while and all that. And so anyway, we were at this one place. Anybody know any of these guys? Now, it was really neat because there's a church not too far from here called Morrisburg. Okay. Now, of course, you know this guy here. You don't know him? Okay, let me introduce you to him. Anyway, this guy, Pastor James Tripp, is the present pastor of Morrisburg Pentecostal Church. And you've probably met him as we go to prayer meetings with them together. He's the present pastor. Do you know this guy over here? Pastor Duncan Perry. He pastored in Morrisburg from 1995 to 12 or 13, something like that, and Pastor James Tripp came in, who is the present pastor. Before Pastor Duncan Perry was pastor, this is Pastor Terry Pitt. He was the pastor from 1988 to 1995. He was the pastor that I assisted with in Morrisburg back in 1989 and 1990. So, Pastor Roger March looked over at us and said, hey, look at that. Like it's a Morrisburg Pentecostal Church reunion. So he snapped the picture, and I just wanted to show you that here's from 1988 to the present day. Here's the those who stood behind the pulpits in Morrisburg Pentecostal Church. And so I thought that was kind of neat. Amen. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 150? Anybody a dog lover here? You know that why I put dogs up here, you know. Now I thought, well, maybe there's somebody here that, you know, is not really much of a dog lover, but they love animal life. So anyway, I thought I would put everything up here, you know, that I believe that all of creation praises God. Amen? So I thought I would give something up there. I don't know if you like sea life. There's a dolphin, you know, hamster, moose, deer, whatever it is, elk, I don't know. Is that a pussycat up on the left side?
I don't know what it is, but they're all animals, and they seem to have their arms up, and it was kind of a neat picture for you to inspire you this morning, let you know that even animal life, aw, even animal life, amen? Psalm 150, are you there? Praise the Lord. That's how it starts. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. That's for you, Elvis. Praise Him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Aren't you glad today for the Word of God? Without the Word of God, we would not know. Isn't that right? Without the Word of God, we would not know. You would not know anything about salvation. You wouldn't know how to be saved. You would know who to give your life to. You would know who is the way, the truth, and the life. If you didn't have the Word of God, if you didn't know the Word of God, you would not know any part of salvation. So aren't you glad today for the Word of God? And if you did not have the Word of God, you would know nothing about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. If you did not have the Word of God, you would know nothing about healings. If you did not have the Word of God, you would know nothing about the favor of God upon our lives. If you did not have the Word of God, you would know nothing about the miracles of God. If you did not have the Word of God stored in your heart or read the Word of God, you would know nothing about our future and our destination that God has gone to prepare a place for us, that He's going to come back one day and take us to where He is. You would know nothing about heaven. You would know nothing about hell. You would know nothing about what God has for this whole world. Thank God for the Word of God. Because when you began to read it, you began to hear about salvation and healing and miracles and signs and wonders and the baptism and water baptism and miracles and healings and all these things. You began to read about them and you were stirred in your spirit and perhaps you even started asking, I want more, God. I want more. So as I look at this, and it's a really beautiful portion of Scripture, Psalms, the whole Psalms, and if you read our Daily Bread this morning, it was, wow. You know, I'm always amazed that when you read things, especially on the day you get to preach, say, God, this is, you're taking from the Psalms, you're talking about worship and praise and everything else, and here we are going to Psalm 150 this morning. You know, I never look ahead to find out what is going on so I can kind of have something that would kind of be on that day which would kind of coincide with it. But I'm amazed because the reason why I don't go ahead is because God blesses me when I read things like that. It's neat when, have you ever felt or gone through something and you read a devotional and it just went right to your heart? I like that. It's like God has got it all prepared and all planned. You can call it coincidence if you want. But I call it God. God touching me and blessing me and thanking God for all those blessings. So as I looked at our Daily Bread this morning and I looked at the message that God had laid upon my heart for today, I was just so blessed. And as I look at the whole book of Psalms, this is a powerful book. The book of Psalms is a great book. It contains the largest chapter, 119, Psalm 119, of any book in the Bible. It is detailed and authored by several people. I think that many times we all seem to know a psalm or part thereof. We seem to quote them or have them or know when we go through battles or victories. We can all relate to many of the psalms that people had, even David, when he went through some of the things that he faced, and he wrote many of the songs for you and I, and he experienced those in his lifetime, and so the experiences he wrote about. And so you and I have something that came from his heart in the middle of that battle, in the middle of that trial, in the middle of that experience that he was going through. Psalm 1 opens with this beautiful phrase, blessed is the man who, And then it continues throughout the whole 150 chapters to challenge us and challenge us and challenge us and speak to our hearts. Aren't you glad that you know the Word of God today? Because it says something to us. Many know Psalm 23, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." We love that psalm. Or how about Psalm 34, verse 19? "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him and sees him through them all." I like that. And then Psalm 37, verse 4, Betty's favorite verse, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." Or how about Psalm 91? "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." Aren't you glad you know the Word of God? And as I go through the book of Psalms, did you know that the book of Psalms is divided into five books? Five portions? I mean, you go through chapters 1 through 41 of Psalms, that's book 1. Then you go to chapters 42 to 72, that's book 2. Chapter 73 to 89 is book 3. Psalms 90 to 106 is book 4. And book 5 is 107 to 150. And each one has something that is signifying or giving us something of what is enticing us to. And from Psalm 107 to down to 150 is all about praise. It's all about worship. It's all about giving God the glory that is due his name. And notice that the last psalm begins differently than the first psalm. The first psalm opens with man being blessed by God, but it closes with man blessing God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Psalm 1 says, "Blessed is the man." The last psalm says, "Praise ye the Lord." And in Psalm 1 and 150, a whole lot of things have happened right in between those two chapters. From Psalm 1 to Psalm 150, there's a lot of stuff that goes on that we need to read about and take to our heart. Psalms is the greatest collection of songs, prayers, and poetry ever put together. It's a fascinating and it's a powerful book. Read it more and more. Say that word more. Read it more. It's part of God's Word. It's the largest book in the entire Bible. The New Testament quotes it more than 75 times. And the book of Romans. The book of Romans, Paul quotes or refers to the book of Psalms at least 14 times as you go through the study in the book of Romans. Psalms not only contains the shortest and the longest chapters of the Bible, but seems to be placed very dead center of our Bible, and I use that word dead very loosely. Right in the center, the core of the Bible, so that when you go through Genesis right over to the book of Job, you come into Psalms. When you go from the book of Proverbs right to the book of Revelations, there it is. You always seem to think about the book of Psalms. It's a beautiful book, isn't it? One verse that offers a powerful bit of wisdom for us is Psalm 118, verse 8. It says this, "It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man." Wow. What a statement. Let me say that again because you want more this morning. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. Powerful verse. How about Psalm 138, verse 8? In the New King James Version, it says, "The Lord will perfect that which concerns me." I like that. The Lord will perfect that which concerns me. Or in the New Living Translation, that very same statement says, "The Lord will work out his plans for my life." I like that. God ordains the steps of the righteous. Amen? So we have 150 songs or psalms which make up this book, and many of them are prophetic in nature. Remember when Jesus, after the resurrection, he came and met with his disciples, and his disciples were there with him, and he said this to his disciples. Jesus was talking to them. He said to them after the resurrection that these are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. You can find that in Luke 24, verse 44. Now, the Psalms has a lot of people who contribute to this wonderful, gigantic book. Many ask if King David was the sole writer of the book of Psalms, and he was not the sole writer of the book of Psalms. He is, however, one of the most prolific writer of songs found in the Bible. Remember when he used to play the harp for King Saul and the evil spirits would depart from him? I wonder if he was writing a song at that time, playing those and going through all those incantations of just putting together words of writing to allow those evil spirits to depart from King Saul. I wonder if he wrote a lot of these two songs. See, David lived roughly contributed to about 80 songs in the book of Psalms. And other writers were Moses, Heman the Ezrahite, Ethan the Ezrahite, Solomon contributed in the book of Psalms, Asaph, the sons of Korah, they contributed some of the Psalms. And you even have some of the Psalms that they don't really know who wrote them, but they're so beautiful. Who cares if they're anonymous, if they're glorifying to God and giving us something that is really beautiful? And as you look at Psalm 150, it seems to be one of those Psalms that we do not really know who wrote it. They can contribute it to many people, but we don't really know. But it doesn't take away from the power of God's word or why God has allowed it to be here. God's word is precisely there for you and I for the moment that we have. So I don't know about you, but I want more. You want more? Psalm 150 is this kind of epilogue or afterword of the Hebrew hymnal. It seems to, in a way, in a sense, when you come to Psalm 150, it seems to summarize the whole book when you begin to read Psalm 150, giving us the emphasis of this theme of praising the Lord. I mean, after all the things that you go through, this is the thing that we ought to do. Praise the Lord. After everything that happens in our life, and I think it's a good idea in the midst of all that we go through in life, like Our Daily Bread said this morning, it's a good thing to praise the Lord. It's a good thing to worship God because he deserves all of our praise and our worship. In fact, when you go through the book of Psalms, it gives us instructions of praising the Lord. Did you know that? It gives us instructions of praising the Lord and even gives a challenge to everything that has been created to do just that. Why don't you praise the Lord? Everything that hath breath should praise the Lord. And as you look at the short Psalm 150, you find that it's enacting an exuberant song that seems to beat with the rhythm of joy and wonder and adoration of God. Isn't that cool? And Psalm 150 begins with a command statement. If you remember back into your English grammar many, many years ago when you were in school, remember those days? If you had an exclamation mark at the end of a phrase or a sentence, what did that mean? There was a word that was understood at the first. When it says, praise the Lord, exclamation mark, there's a word that's not written there that's understood. Remember that in grammar? The word over there is Y-O-U. You understood. So when you see that exclamation mark, you see praise the Lord, it's like a command, but you is understood. So in other words, praise the Lord is for you and I to be able to get to that place. But how could we ever praise a God that we're not in relationship with? You know, it's kind of crazy right now with all the Stanley Cup playoffs. I meet people that say, my team is gone. And so somebody asks them, well, who are you cheering for now? It's kind of like they're a turncoat in many ways, you know, and they just kind of turn to a different team. Well, it's my second choice or whatever. But I think a lot of times in our world that we look, a lot of people say they know about God, but they don't know how to worship him. They don't know how to praise God. They don't know how to go deep in God. And even many people look at us Christians when we get to praising God, and they think that we're right off the wall, but that we've gone bonkers because we lift our hands or we sing loud or we jump around or we just get really excited. You know, I was raised in a church in Oshawa where you did not, I don't know if they do that now, but you did not make any noise in church. Church was shh. And I was a child being raised in a church like that. I had many times when my mother grabbed this muscle right on my neck because I didn't like quiet. I don't know about you, but in church I just felt, you know, quiet is not the thing for a little child to experience in his life. So many times I broke the silence. Many times I felt the pain and went through those things. But you see, I think the people around us, when we start getting praising the Lord, we get lost in Jesus, and we start lifting our hands, and we take joy in Jesus Christ, they really think that we're off the wall. Have you ever watched any of those documentaries where they show a church somewhere where they're like this or whatever, and they look at them, and you can almost feel like the secular world laughing at us because we're praising God, but they don't know why we're praising God. They don't have the understanding. Aren't you glad you've got the book today that you know about praising the Lord? I mean, Many people go to sporting events. I like sporting events. I like to go to sporting events and cheer for somebody on the team or cheer for a team or something. I do that. But that compares nothing to when I get to church and I give my worship to God and my praise and my adoration. I mean, you can have all the hockey teams and football teams and basketball teams and everything else. I'll cheer for them. I'll give them a little hoot every now and then. But when I get to church, that's when my worship takes over. That's when the real stuff starts to take place. And that's where I want to worship God and give him my best. And that's called exuberant praise of all. Amen. In other words, praise and worship grows out of my relationship to Jesus himself. The more I get to fall in love with him, the more my praise and worship starts to take over my life. It can't just happen, because if I don't have a relationship with him, how can I ever worship him? I need to know him. I need to strengthen that relationship. I need to start digging deep into that relationship and then climbing higher to know that depth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the width, the height, the length of everything about Jesus and his love for me. And the greater I find in that depth of his love and the capacity to know him and that relationship, it seems to spur on my worship more and more. It seems to take me to a deeper place in worship and praise and adoration of God. And I thank God that we are saved here today. But did you know that God chose the Jewish people as his own? When you go back in the Bible, you'll find that God seemed to have his hand on the nation of Israel. They are God's chosen people, even today. And Psalms, you go through Psalms and it declares that. And the entire Old Testament testifies that this sovereign God seemed to have this nation in his favor, the nation of Israel. They were God's chosen people. And he didn't base it on what they did or how good they were or anything else, because we know many times we read about how they blew it. They blew it constantly, but God loved them and loved them. And I just look at God and I leave that with him. However he wants to do it, if he wants to take Israel as his chosen nation, so be it. And I don't question that, because when I came to Jesus Christ, I couldn't come to him on my merits or my abilities or anything else. I came to him just because he loved me and God chose me. And thank God that he chose every one of us today to come into salvation. Aren't you blessed today that you are chosen by God? We don't understand those things. I can't understand why he chose Israel. Can you understand why he chose you? Can you understand why he got you saved, and you're sitting here in church this morning and listening to God's word and feeling the favor of God and knowing God and worshiping God? You can't understand it, but just thank God that God saved you and set you free. That's all there is. You just kept reading the book and you wanted more. You wanted more. You wanted more. Thank God for God that he's done these things in our life. And Psalms remind us that it's only when we see God at work in our lives that we begin to praise him more. Aren't you glad when you get down to pray and you see the answers of prayer, you praise him more? When you begin to come to church and you find people that you have like precious faith, you find that you praise God more. Things happen in your life. Things just seem to fall into place. You praise God more. Everything seems to fall into place. Everything seems to go right at times. I know that sometimes it doesn't go right, but when it does, isn't it good to find God in our lives and praise him for those blessed times we have? Now, that's why Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 24, ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Until he said, you have asked me nothing. Until now, you've asked me nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your joy may be full. Psalms. Don't you love Psalms? I find that Psalms are like nourishment. It's like those books that were out a few years ago, Chicken Noodle Soup for the Soul or something like that. Remember those books that were all over the place? You know, I find when you go, this is like chicken noodle soup. You go to the book of Psalms and it seems that it doesn't matter whether you're down sick or going through battles or anything else, there's something in there that's going to nourish you, something that's going to take you through. That's why it says in the Psalms, weeping may endure for the night, but... Aren't you glad of that verse? Man, you just... Wow, when you grab onto that verse and you hold onto that verse and you go through all those nights, sleepless nights and the worry and stress and everything else, weeping may endure for a night, but comes in the morning. And I don't think the psalmist was ever thinking that, well, just because the sun comes up, everything's going to be right. No, it's something spiritual here that he's talking about. Something deep that when you know the word of God, it's just something that transpires and goes into your soul. You know, I like when the psalmist says, I lifted my eyes, from whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. I mean, we all kind of turn here, there, and everywhere. Well, can I get some help? Where can I find this? Where can I get this? Turn to the Lord. Get to the Lord. That's where Psalms is really, really directing us. And I like this because I seem to think that somehow somebody was holding somebody somewhere and they couldn't get to church. Have you ever been going through things where you couldn't get to church, you couldn't get to a prayer meeting, you couldn't get to this because things were going on in your life, stress or things or family dropped over just at the last minute when you're going out the door and you couldn't get to church? I like it because when it gets down to a verse in the Bible, it says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us. That's right. Somebody, how they must have been restrained from going to the house of the Lord, but they were pretty happy to get there because that's what the Word of God tells us. Just the fact of being here today in church, just the fact of being here today is a good indication that God has brought us through. Just by us sitting here today and wanting to worship God, wanting to come to church, wanting to hear the Word of God is a good indication that God has brought us through. Can you praise Him? But just before all the praise begins, I like because Psalm 107 to 150 is about praise and worship. But just before the last five chapters of Psalms are really the hitting part of the worship and praise. They really get into the worship and praise. Read Psalm 145 right down to 150 and you'll find some real good indications of praise and worship. But you know, just before the last five books start with 145, if you were to go back to Psalm 144, verse 15, the last verse of that chapter says this, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. Isn't that great? I think that's really cool. I mean, the young people would say, that's wicked, right? Wicked doesn't mean bad in their vernacular, right? But Psalm 144, verse 5, happy are the people whose God is the Lord. And then you get to Psalm 145, and it's talking about praise His name. As a matter of fact, if you were to go back to the Hebrew, you would find an acrostic in the Hebrew that indicates kind of line after line after line. It's kind of like an A to Z kind of thing that you would look at, and it brings us closer to praising God. And then you get into the Psalm 146 that talks about the praise of God of Jacob. Don't forget, God's chosen people. God swore an oath to the nation of Israel. They are His chosen people. So praise the Lord, O my soul. It starts out in chapter 146, verse 1. And then you get down to Psalm 147, praise the one who sustains. Come on, how many know that the one who sustains? He sustains us. He keeps us. He holds us. He travels with us through our problems. He's the God who sustains. Then you get down to Psalm 149. Or Psalm 148, praise Him, all creation. It's starting to build here towards 150. Nature does more than just reveal God's word. It just, everything about nature. You know, I love nature. I love our dogs. I love to see things. You know, as we were walking along the pathway yesterday, just up past Tim Hortons. Sorry, didn't mean to mention that place. But anyway, we were walking up behind that place. And I was going along, and of course, all the water coming down right now, there's a river that's really overflowing down there, getting up high above the banks. And I'm hoping it doesn't go over because that's where we walk our dogs. But the other morning I told Betty, I said, you know, I'm walking along and last year there was this great humongous snapping turtle in there. And one of our neighbors was telling us that one day that when the waters were really down low that a duck was kind of swimming along and the snapping turtle grabbed a hold of the duck's leg and just had the duck and the duck was flapping its wings and holding it there. That makes me feel for nature. When I see that, I know that there's predators out there, the nature begets nature and all that, and they prey on each other out in nature. But when you see it happen, it's not so cool. And anyway, I was walking along yesterday and seeing the banks all overflowing, and there was a duck out in the water. And I was walking along, all of a sudden I heard a splash. And like you think the duck would be flying away, and the duck wasn't flying away. And so I'm thinking, and I said to Betty, I wonder if that snapping turtle's back and grabbed the duck and pulled him down. And it just broke my heart. But I believe that all of creation, everything out there, God has made them. I mean, the question asked, kids ask mom and dad, do dogs go to heaven? Do cats go to heaven? Like, every child wants to know, what is that place that God has got up there? And I believe that somehow there's going to be a place because it talks about in the millennial kingdom that the lion is going to lie down with the lamb. Amen? So there's got to be something there tying in animal creation to all of us who are just being there with them. Just like Adam and Eve had in the Garden of Eden where every animal was brought to them and they named it. I believe that God is very particular in love with all of creation. How about you? So all of creation, I believe that will praise him. Psalm 149, praise him all you saints. And it's really great to see that all the saints would praise God. But then you get to Psalm 150. Praise the Lord. What's the word that's understood? You. You praise the Lord. Don't let somebody else praise the Lord for things that you get. You praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise him with loud cymbals. Praise him with clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Did you know how many times that word praise is in that psalm? It's a baker's dozen. 13 times the word praise is in Psalm 150. You know, Psalm chapter 1 said, blessed is the man. I like that. Then you go to Psalm 50, it ends with verse 23, whoever offers praise glorifies me, and to him who orders his conduct aright, I will show the salvation of God. And then you get over to Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Isn't that cool? There's so much worship and praise in the Psalms. That's Psalm 100. Have you heard it before? Make a joyful noise to the Lord. All those who can't really sing love that chapter. Then you get down to Psalm 150 that just says, praise the Lord. So here's the conclusion of all the Psalms right in 150. It says, praise the Lord. Now, a lot of people have asked these three words over the years to me as a pastor. Who should I praise? Father, Son, Holy Spirit, you know, like what do I do here? Makes no difference to me. They're all connected. You know, go ahead. Everybody says, should I say praise Holy Spirit? Why? Is it scripturally wrong? Praise the Father. Praise the Son. Praise the Holy Spirit. A lot of people say, why should I praise? A lot of churches, they don't do that. They don't praise God audibly. They don't dance. They don't sing. They don't clap their hands and all that. People ask me why. And a lot of people have asked me, how do I praise God? Those are very pertinent questions, aren't they? You know, God has another church, and it's up in heaven. And I believe that every person that we've known, come in contact, who's believed in Jesus Christ, is in that church right now. I believe they're praising God over on the other shore. You know, I've often heard the stories about somebody's mom has been praying for them over the years, and they finally came to Jesus. And I believe that, you know, Betty and I, we lost our moms. And I pray that they're over there in glory. But they probably prayed, your mom, 13 kids, I'm sure she prayed a lot. But I believe there's some mom over there shouting because their son or daughter came to Jesus. There's a church over there that's praising. You know, I often wonder, can the church over there see the church down here? Well, I somehow feel that, you know, the thing that connects us is praise and worship. The thing that ties us together with the church up there and the church down here is praise and worship. The thing that connects us and is the same thing that which of God wants unity in his church, because you don't sit here quiet and not praise God down here, then get over there and, yay! I believe that down here we're learning to praise and worship God and enjoying the blessings of God down here. And so let yourself be loosed from all those things that perhaps you were brought up in some mainline denomination where you have to tie your hands together and you can't clap or put them in your pockets or you don't do all those kinds of things. If you want to experience deeper in God, and I found that many years ago when I first came into a Pentecostal church and I looked at all those people and I thought they were bonkers. I looked at them when Betty took me to Stone Pentecostal Church in Toronto, and I said to her, get me out of here. I was not used to that. I have been not taught that. I have been not shown that. That was different to these eyes to see that when I said to her, get me out of here. But when I realized that the Word of God began to show me, and as I started going through the Psalms, and it says, shout to the Lord with the voice of triumph. Oh, dance with all your might. You know, and all these things that I read about, there's something that says that this life of mine can bring praise to God with my lips, my hands, my dance, my joy of singing Him. I just love, you know, to get in the music and go back and forth. I love worship time, and it kind of brings us to the place of deeper worship where the Word of God comes in and tells us things. But I thank God that God has got these two churches going on. And you know, the only difference between these two churches is that you and I have not been transferred yet. But one day we will be. So practice good down here. Practice with your whole heart. Practice with a depth. And spiritually worship God with everything you've got. Let everything with inside you, every breath that you've got, every soul, every sinew, every muscle, every part of you, worship God down here. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Just to praise Him and praise Him and praise Him. To go to that deep place and thank God for the blessings that we have. I mean, some people can say, why should we praise Him? Well, there's two reasons why we should praise Him. First, because of His mighty deeds. God blesses us. That's a good reason to praise Him. God blesses me every day. Just to be able to wake up in the morning and say the name of Jesus. And to say that name with a blessing in my heart, my life. That gives me some depth of my life. And so I praise Him for everything that He does in my life. My wife, my kids, my grandkids, my church, everything. I mean, I could go through. I could count my blessings and name them one by one. And I would still not be finished tonight in time for the prayer meeting over in Brockville. I'd still be going on thanking God for every blessing that you and I have in this life. So that's a pretty good reason why we should praise Him for everything that He does in our life. Amen? But secondly, God should be praised because of His excellent and surpassing greatness of just who He is. He made us. He made this world. He made our animals. He made everything around us. He made it all. Thank God in the stars His handiwork I see, says the psalmist. Brings us closer to God. I like it. We used to sing Psalm 73, verse 25. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my soul and my portion forever. Anybody ever heard Psalm 73 like that? Beautiful portion of Scripture. I like when you start singing Scripture. You know, I look at many of these people in our Bible. They were just human like you and I. They went through all kinds of things in their life. But I've been reading recently about David. David is in the Scriptures. He's quite a unique guy, isn't he? You know, he had a heart after God. After God. After God. And I like, you know, You look at the struggles of some of these people, and some people say, well, how do I worship God? What do I say? How do I praise Him? How do I get it across? How do I say it in words of how I will worship this God? I like in the attempt that David made over in 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11. This is a beautiful, like you can see the struggle, but yet you could see the heart just beaming out of David as he expressed his love for God. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 verse 11 says this, yours, O Lord, is the greatness, the power and the glory, the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in all earth is yours. Yours is the kingdom, O Lord, and you are exalted as head over all. Both riches and honor come from you. You reign over all. In your hand is power and might. In your hand it is to make great and to give strength to all. Now, therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name. Isn't that beautiful? in his attempt to try and get across something of what he felt, of what God was doing in his life at that moment, he expressed it. And that's all we have to do is in our prayers and our worship to God is whatever's going on in our life at that moment, just say, God, thank you for that. You woke me up this morning. And I like what Bob said this morning. I'm seeing the green grass on this side. I like that. Just praise God because we are looking at that green, green, green grass outside that all the rain has made so green and so rich. Thank God for the life that you and I have. Amen? So, how do you praise him? Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. How's that song go? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Psalm 150. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrelin dance. Amen? Praise him with the loud cymbals. Praise him with the loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. I mean, as I read this, now, this was the culture back in those days. They just, what do you got in church? You got a guitar, you got this, you got that. You'll take this. Well, praise God with it. Praise God with this. Get something going. And I don't... Not everybody can play musical instruments, I know that, but everybody has these two instruments. Amen? We can all praise God. And everybody has this instrument. Thank you, God! To worship God. To worship God. Hallelujah. You know, as you look at the book of Psalms, you cannot get any better conclusion to a book than Psalm 150. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Would the worship team come, please? You know, I don't know if you do a lot of reading, but a lot of books have, a foreword at the front or an introduction. And at the end, they have what is called an epilogue or an afterword. And it's kind of like a summation or a conclusion of what has transpired in that book. And really, it's kind of wrapping everything up and bringing it down to some observations that we all should look at or some challenges that we need to put in our life. Well, as I look at this, the last statement of the book of 150 Psalms is, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's an observation, but that's a challenge. It's an observation, but it's a challenge. And I know that sometimes we don't feel like praising the Lord. And I know sometimes we're going through things and we just barely get ourselves to church. We just barely get ourselves to stand to our feet in church when the music starts. And I know that we go through things in life that are not very good at times. But this is a challenge to us. It's an observation, but it's a challenge. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Sounds like a pretty good challenge. Sounds like something that we go through. It sounds like a good ending of the book. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's do it with your breath. Do it with your life. Do it with everything inside of us. But just do it. Now we're going to sing a song that I asked Miles if we could do this today. It's kind of a neat song. Oh, let me show you one more picture first. There. Just in case you were trying to figure out how should I praise God, just tap into whatever they're doing there. You know, if you feel like you're the green guy there or the red one down here or purple one in the middle or whatever you are, just, you know, have you ever tried to relate to somebody what they're going through? Well, relate. Go ahead. Relate to whatever is happening there and just enjoy. Now, we're going to sing this song, but when you get to praising and worshiping God, it's very, very difficult to, have you ever seen a singer? They don't sit while they sing. An opera singer, they're standing up, fill their lungs, and let it go. Sometimes they'll even put their arms out like this, or they stand like this to allow their lungs to be like in a circular motion. Have you ever seen singers stand like this? So maybe you want to stand because you want more, right? Do you want more? So maybe we should stand this morning. You don't have to put your hands like this. You don't have to put your hands like this. You don't have to do anything, as a matter of fact. But the challenge has been issued. Let everything that is breath praise the Lord. So that's the challenge. Do you want more? Do you want more? Let's go. Amen. Here we go. High sounding cymbal. Praise God. Amen.
And everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord.
Praise you, God.
Praise you in the morning. Praise you in the evening. Praise you in the morning when I'm on. Praise you when I'm laughing. Praise you when I'm dreaming. Praise you in the season when I'm sown.
That's a nice song, isn't it? And I can see that. Well, I like that song. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah. But what are you praising God for? Everything. Everything. That's pretty good. I like that, Kathy. Amen. Everything. Think about what you're praising Him for. Just don't sing the song. Don't let them be words of the song. Think of what He's done in your life. Think of the blessings that you've got because you got Jesus. And then begin to let everything praise the Lord. Amen? Crank her up.
All right.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you.
Everything that has breath, praise the Lord.
Never cease to praise you. Are you still breathing? Well, you've got breath. You've got a cause. His name is Jesus. You've got a Savior. His name is Jesus. You've got a person to worship. His name is Jesus. So worship Him. Let everything that has breath praise Him. What a way to leave church this morning. Amen. It's like you've been at a hockey game, but only a lot better. Amen. Praise God. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. For your word challenges us. Your word shows us. Your word demonstrates to us. Your word brings us close to you. Thank you, Lord God, that when we began to open up the word, we had a lot of questions. And perhaps even now the questions are not all answered. But thank you, Lord, that one by one we're seeing them answered in our lives. One by one, when we see things and we question things, Lord, we turn to the word of God, and the word of God has got answers for us. Thank you, Lord God, that your word has been a strength to us. It's a hammer. It's a fire. It's everything that we need. It's a lamp unto our feet. And I thank you today, Lord God, for every person here today. God, as we leave here, let us leave challenged, that we don't go out here sour and down and discouraged and saying negative things, but we go out of here looking up and saying, thank you, God. The church up there is praising you. Let the church down here praise you, Lord, because we've got so much to praise you for. Everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Oh, those are good words. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, giving Him honor and the due that is due Him. Hallelujah. So God, go with us. Challenge us, keep challenging us to keep praising you, to keep lifting our voices, to keep looking up. And we thank you, Lord, that one day we're going to be transferred to the other church. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Amen.